Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I'm Kevin. Joined with me, as always, is Andrew. And Andrew, we are Big 12 champions by two games, just like the basketball gods intended last year. Total fluke, fake news. This is obviously the real world where Kansas is Big 12 champions, just like we said and predicted and hoped and prayed for and dreamed. How are you doing, Andrew?
Kevin, I'm doing well. The regular season is over. Now the real season begins. We say this every year. You know, it's great to win a Big 12 title, but I think we've got higher aspirations for this coming year.
Are you going to do the Pete Buttigieg high hopes dance right now?
We do have high hopes. We have the highest of hopes. And you know who else had high hopes was Udoka Azubuike, who was named Big 12 Player of the Year. And let's just revisit one of the hottest topics we've had on this podcast is Doak versus Doc, D-O-K-E versus D-O-K. I thought it was just like this throwaway conversation that you kind of did something funny with it because you made like a poll. But it turned into kind of a thing.
Yeah. First of all, Team Doak forever, right? I mean, this is not even a question.
Like, I didn't really have a hard and fast position until there was some sort of pushback from the other side. And now I'm like the staunchest hardcore D-O-K-E stan there is. Like, I've been hardened by fire here.
I literally think I've lost followers like over this on Twitter. And not because maybe they disagree with me, but because I'm so militant about it now.
Sure. Like, whenever you forced us into this, people,
it's not
you
my
forced
fault.
Us yeah. to take this position and double down, and we're going to triple down and we're going to quadruple down until you've submitted into the appropriate way of thinking. I'll let you kind of walk through how your week went with all that. But a couple of things I want to point out. Udoka was asked about this, which is the most ridiculous thing that could happen, to actually involve him in this.
Also great.
He said he didn't care which way it was. So that kind of opens the door for both sides. There's smart people on both sides, Kevin. Mm-mm. There's smart people on both. No, Mm-mm. It just opens that up. I'm just saying it opens it up. But I will say that there is half the people who are wrong. Actually, it was like 60% of people who are wrong and 40% of people who are, you know, have brains in their skulls.
Yeah.
I will say, Fox Sports College Hoops tweeted out today, Doak wins Big 12 Player of the Year, D-O-K-E. I think journalists have largely been on our side.
It's actually not close on the journalist front. And I rationalize that by, you know, assuming that it's because they are, you know, I don't know, good with words because they're journalists. I mean, that's a good starting point, I presume. And I have not seen yet, Andrew, a journalist who has been not Team Doak. I literally haven't seen one yet. All the KU beat writers are all Team Doak, D-O-K-E. And I say Doak, if we're going to, just for everyone's purposes, we're going to say Team Doc if we're talking about D-O-K, because that's
now,
what that spells.
Now, I will say this, Doc is a cool nickname.
It's a
great nickname. It's just not Doak's nickname.
No. Like, if you, I don't know, like, there's lots of people we could go. We used to have a doc on our team or on our bench. You used to live by a doc.
Yeah. I used to live right next door to Doc.
Doc Sadler.
If you go back in the day to listen to, we'll call it season one of Jayhawk Talk, we talked about Doc living next door to me all the time.
I forgot about Doc Sadler. Where the hell is Doc Sadler? Google it now.
So, no, I can tell you exactly where he is. He was the coach at, I don't know, one of those Louisiana schools that got into trouble with the NCAA right after he took the job. So, like, he never got anything established. So he left there, was not fired, but left there to be an assistant coach for Hoiberg back in Nebraska, the place where he was a head coach. So he, I guess, just to help him out, maybe they're buddies.
Is he still there?
He's still, yeah, I think this was the last, good. This first season was his first season back at Nebraska.
That's exactly where he needs to be.
Southern Miss. He was at Southern Miss.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that. Okay. Doc sat, Team Doc. Like, if we're talking about Team Doc, like, I am Team Doc if we're talking about Doc Sadler. I
but it's team not.
Doke.
It's Doke.
Talking about you, Doke.
Doc. So, anyway, there's a lot of people who are wrong, and they're just going to have to live with themselves.
I can't tell you how many tweets I've got about this. And it's not been, it is representative, Andrew, of 60-40 against. I think that's about right. Although I will say, because I, you know, put some logic and rationalized it a little bit, I think I've brought some people over to our side over time.
Right. Because people immediately jump to this whole, well, there's no E in the name. Well, Dave McCormick. There's no E in David.
I do call him.
There's
Big Dad.
Lots of examples. There's lots of analogies that you can give, like Coca-Cola, like we gave last week, where like, okay, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. And it's all about ease of pronunciation. Like if you just read a tweet that says D-O-K, like in your head, it's going to say Doc. Anyway, I'm done with this conversation unless you have something else. I'm just going to say, like, I'm happy to live in my D-O-K-E world and have no second guesses about it.
I will say this. You know, we're both – yeah, we like politics. We like to see what's going on when you get a sampling of voters in an area. You know, you get a group of Trump voters. You get a group of whatever. I want to get a group who has no idea who Udoka is. Which there's, you know, a majority of America, right, doesn't know who Udoka is. And I want to say, Udoka. I'm going to, all right, Udoka. Now I'm going to show you something. What does this say? D-O-K, D-O-K-E. 98% are going to say Doke, D-O-K-E. Am I right? Like if you say, all I want you to do is spell out the nickname Doke. We're not wrong, right? It'd be like 90-something percent. So, what, like, even crazy people are like on either side of the spectrum of any sort of world will still spell it D-O-K-E if they understand the English language. I still don't. It's like my mind explodes when we start talking about D-O-K. I don't get it. Okay, let's move on before I get.
I don't get it either.
All right,
but Andrew, I'm going to tell you here. I'm going to transition here. I'm going to throw it out.
We're 7 minutes into this podcast. still talking about this.
You said that 90. Here we go. You said that 98% of people don't know Udoka's name. That's going to change. That's going to change come March.
Yes,
because
sir.
We have March Madness coming up. We're going to briefly talk about the Texas Tech game that just happened yesterday. We're recording this on a Sunday. And then we're going to jump into kind of the, you know, what this team has done in the regular season, talk about the Big 12 awards that were released today, and then talk about the Big 12 tournament, talk about the NCAA tournament. Kevin, I want to talk about the Texas Tech game for just like 30 seconds.
Okay.
So we'll have like 7 minutes of Doc Doka talk and then 30 seconds of actual game talk.
Deal.
So Texas Tech, hard-fought battle in Lubbock. I think the only question that anyone wants to talk about is, was that a foul on the three? My thought is, no. You can't just kick your leg out and fall down and expect to get a foul called.
No,
any thoughts? Yeah, and I think I'll back this up. No one else is really talking about this now. I think it was an initial uproar amongst Texas Tech fans, and no one else. And
Bob
it's not
was
been
choosing.
Brought up.
Like that was it. Like nobody else thought that was a foul. I don't see. I don't even know. I will spend less than 30 seconds on it because that is not even a question that was a foul. It was not a foul. If KU was shooting that shot, it would obviously not be in the camp that was a foul because it was not a foul. It was not a foul. We didn't play that well, Andrew. That's the other thing. Like, this is a team. I just want to talk about this in light of Tech, but we can make it more macro. I feel like, and I listened to the post game interview on the radio. I never listened to the actual presser, you know, where all the media people are, because I can get those quotes, but you rarely see the quotes like right after the game when he's getting the KU radio network interview. Like the freshest thoughts. And so I always try to tune in, and I literally tune in. Radio has an app. If you ever want to go find it, you don't have to, you know, pull up the radio version or whatever. You can, I just throw it on my phone real fast and listen to itself. And so it feels like for several games now, multiple games, he comes out and says, you know, we didn't play that well. We didn't shoot it that well. We didn't put it in the basket. What did we have? You know, 2 for 3 for 16 on three or whatever. You keep, he has this refrain where he's like, yeah, we didn't play that well, but they keep winning. And you look down and it was fine. Doak had kind of a normal game. Dotson was 6 for 15. Ochai 5 for 13. You know, they were kind of just, it never felt like they had anything really going on offense, which, you know, that's a lot of games. But he keeps saying this refrain, but we didn't play that well. But God dang, we defended and we rebounded and we did all the things you have to do to win games like that. And it's like every single game, all of a sudden, that's what they do. Like, they bring the things that you can control. We talk about this all the time, particularly in March. Like, control the things you can control, and you're going to win games. Sometimes you run into a buzzsaw and they make 13 three-pointers in the first half or whatever. You can't control that. But, like, this team is better, I think, Andrew, than any KU team I can remember, maybe 08, at controlling the things you can control. And that's obviously being a rock-solid defensive team at five positions, which it feels like we've never had, like, that kind of defensive team. And then, you know, effort, rebounding, blah, 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 everything, just across the board, and having the pieces, Doak being able to slide and run and play, you know, like a gazelle out there at 7 foot, and then having those two guards in the front just batting balls all over the place. It's just something about this team makes me so confident going into March that it's scary. And am I crazy here?
Well, it is a little scary, but you're right, on the defensive end. You know, on the offensive end, sometimes shots don't go down. But on the defensive end, you should be able to perform consistently if you're a great team. And we have performed incredibly consistently. I mean, it's not necessarily the fastest paced of teams. We're not going to score 100 points a game. We're going to probably keep a good portion of these games against good teams where we're struggling offensively in the 50s or 60s. Maybe we'll get up to the 70s if we're lucky. But, like, that's how this team's going to win tough games, and that's how we have. You know, it's definitely the past, you know, couple weeks. But you talk about this team compared to other teams. This is a team that has done something that no other Big 12 team has done, and that's win 17 games in a regular season. Now, we increased the games to an 18-game schedule, you know, several years ago, but you can kind of compare with a couple other teams. 2002, remember that Drew Gooden team went 16-0 in the Big 12, and then went on to go to the Final Four, lose to Maryland. And then 2010, KU went 15-1. You know, that was an incredible team, and that was the Northern Iowa game or Northern Iowa year, but an incredible team in the Big 12, and just an incredible team generally. But this team above all of those teams that I just mentioned, and maybe 08, and even going back further, their calling card is defense and points in the paint. And those are things that have a high efficiency rating. It's not like, you know, we're counting on taking 30 threes in a game and we're hoping we're going to make 10 to 15 of them. That's not how we're going to play. We are going to hopefully get the ball to Udoka. He's going to score at a 75% or better clip. And we're going to try to get to the bucket. We're going to have Garrett try to get a couple scoopers. We're going to, you know, and maybe take a couple threes with Ochai and some other guys, but that's how we're going to win on the offensive end. And those things are controllable and less variable. And so that's why I'm feeling better about this team. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah. And the other thing I guess you can go to is they're tested late. And so when you can control all those variables, all good, right? But at the end of the game, in the last minute and a half of a game, things tighten up, players tighten up, coaches tighten up, you know, fans tighten up. You can feel a difference in a game when it's close late. And these guys, you know, we have a couple examples from 6 weeks ago where they did not do well late. But it's like they've learned from it and they know where to go with the ball. And Marcus Garrett has turned into a stud late. You know, he's got amazing drive in that in this game. And in the last minute and a half, and Christian Brown, you know, taking it to the hoop and going up four, and just it feels like these guys now know how to close a game too. how to buckle down on defense, not foul, not do something stupid, not turn it over, get a good bucket, go with the shot clock distance when you're up three or four. It's like those types of things that coaches obviously work on, and time and score and all those things. You know, you work on those things in practice. But when you have it happen, because we've played so many close games, particularly on the road and even a few at home, like it feels like they've got that down now. Like they sort of understand how to close a game. And that in itself is a total, you know, benefit going into March too. I mean, you can think like Villanova, you can think of some bad examples where they did not do, you know, perform well. Duke, I mean, the games, frankly, that we've lost, you know, came down to the stretch and just didn't really perform. But it's like that hasn't happened in a long time. And we've had a lot of examples where it could have. And they've found a way to get it done. And that is a reflection of the guys that are running this team. Marcus Garrett and Devon Dotson and even Doak to some extent, and obviously a full-on extension of Self. He loves this team. You can see it. He just freaking loves this team, don't you think?
Oh yeah.
It's
I mean, this is a Bill Self team. This is a team probably he's been waiting for, and maybe not a traditional with, you know, one and done, or maybe the past, you know, 5 or 6 years how we've seen these teams being built, but they're better because we've had some experience. And, you know, Bill Self always wants his team to play hard defensively. And, you know, with potentially the defensive player of the year in Marcus Garrett on the team, anchoring, acting as the defensive coordinator for this team. And Doak also as good, you know, on the block defensively, just doesn't get the shine because of Marcus Garrett. I mean, Doak's incredible defensive player and has come a long way.
He's come a long way.
People have been making the comments, you know, nationally, and about how, oh, he can't really slide very much. He can't really guard the pick and roll. That's a 2-year-old argument. Yeah. That's a 2-year-old observation.
Yeah, not anymore.
That is not how this works now. Yeah, try to go do that on him.
He
try
looks
to go
like
do that
a soccer
on him
player
now.
Out there, man. Like he legitimately can slide, like move his feet, like he's like he's 6'4". Like I am constantly probably even underestimating how good he has been from a like quickness, quick hips down. I mean, just sprinting down the floor. He's always the first one back somehow after a rebound. Like he rebounds the ball and you look down, he's got his hand up, like sprinting down the floor, like every possession. And he's playing 30 minutes a game. The dude's 7 foot tall. I mean, he's like from what he came from to now, it is unbelievable what he's done to his body, and not just his body, but like, he's like, and maybe it was always there and he just, you know, whatever, needed to unlock it, you know, after really focusing on the right things. But good God, man, he can move at for his size. He can really move. I hope he continues to get better at that, because he'll make some money in either the league or some league, the way that he's he can now guard and obviously rebound and do the right things. So I mean, he'll find his way on a roster potentially, right?
Yeah, he's a man born out of a time. I mean, if he was born 20 years earlier, I think he'd be a top 5 pick. And maybe if he's born 10 years later, he'd be, I mean, the NBA could swing back that way. I mean, because people take 3-pointers because of high efficiency.
Yeah, but there's a rule, right? Isn't there a rule?
Right. No, but I mean, in terms of efficiency, if you score 75% of your twos, and he's not going to do that in the NBA. But if he's incredibly efficient and scores at a high percentage, is just as worth a 3-pointer.
But his defense too.
And defense can come a long way too. So he can play in the league. He can play in the league. It just depends on, will he be drafted by a team that knows what to do with him?
Yeah, you're right. Right situation. That's everything for him. Anyway, let's move on, Andrew. Do you want to talk about the Big 12 stuff?
Sure. Let's talk about the Big 12 awards. I've kind of previewed some of it, but it came down to Udoka and Devon Dotson for Big 12 Player of the Year. That's been a debate that's really been going on since probably the 1st of February. And Doak got the nod. I think if I had a vote, I would have probably voted Dotson. But I can't complain. I can't complain. Who would you have voted for?
You know, I struggle with this. I would have been a Dotson guy up until maybe the last 10 days, something like that.
And then senior night, that 31-point senior night thing was pretty impressive.
And you take away a player from the team, and which we have. We took away Dotson for a short time, and you know, Marcus ran point. We looked pretty good. You know, we were able to survive that. You take Doak away from this team, like we did last year, and
for, it's good, for but stretches, it's not great.
It is a different team. It's just a totally different look. Like it's the physicality, the defense, the rebounding, what you can throw at a team and what they have to plan for. I mean, at the end of the day, and you've seen quotes from opposing coaches like this all year long and even more of late. I mean, what was it? Chris Beard had Doak rules. Like he had literally rules that they wrote about you. Doak. Like if you have opposing coaches, like literally trying to like rack their brain on what they're going to do about you, you probably deserve the award. And they're not doing that for Dotson. They're doing that for Doak. And because he is a difference maker, he's something that no other team has, in the Big 12 or frankly in the entire, NCAA. And he's just that sort of difference maker. It's hard not to reward that. And he's obviously put in the work too.
Right. Just one example of that is, you know, getting triple teamed, quadruple teamed, opening up a lot of other players. Like he's not going to get the points that game. And so he's not going to get, you know, up on the leaderboards in terms of leaders. Now he is in the leaderboards in terms of scoring, but you can't just look at those numbers. You can't look at his 15 points per game and say, oh, he's 15. Dotson's almost 19. Got to go there. It's a whole package, how you plan. Other teams just, you know, focus exclusively on him. But I think they're both incredibly worthy of the award. Doak just got the nod in this case. We may see something different tomorrow with the AP vote in terms of who gets player of the year. But it's difficult to see someone like Dotson, who's number one ranked player in KenPom, not get his conference player of the year award. And Dotson may get some play nationally in terms of being in a first team All-American or even maybe getting in some of these selections of USBW Association player of the year. I don't think it's going to be a unanimous thing across the board. So you may see him sneak in and get one of those as well. And maybe Doak. I don't know.
I don't know, man. It feels like some other guys are distancing themselves. Like if one of Doak or Dotson was on our team, I think that'd be different. I feel like there's a couple other guys that are, feels like they might be separating themselves, but That takes away nothing, obviously, from
A lot of those voters do look at the metrics, though.
It's true.
So they'll look at the KenPom stuff, and of course, Obi Toppin's going to win probably most of them. Howard's going to win a couple of them. If it's not unanimous, but you know, these two guys are definitely deserving, and they were both unanimous selections for first team player of the year or for first team All Big 12. Marcus got third team in addition to his defensive player of the year. Doak was also on the defensive All Big 12 team. A couple other things to point out. Honorable mention for Ochai. I think that's a good spot for him getting recognized. Maybe it's not the absolute season he wanted, but he is certainly worthy of being pointed out as being one of the better players in the Big 12. And Christian Brown gets all freshman team. Love me some Christian Brown. I think he's going to be fun in March, I think. This is a kid from Blue Valley Northwest, you know, a year ago, probably playing in the Acacia 6A boys tournament. Now he's going to be playing in the NCAA big boys tournament. It's very exciting for him.
Yeah, that's awesome. I haven't seen the award. We had the kid's third birthday party today when this was all released. Who else was on the first team?
Ramsey was on the second team. You had Butler on the first team, Doolittle on the first team. Who am I missing?
Desmond Bain.
Desmond Bain on the first team. So Ramsey got set on the second team. Bain took the first team spot.
Okay. I got no gripes with that. That feels right.
Yeah.
That feels right.
And then Marcus got third team.
Okay.
Yes, I mean, I can make an argument for Marcus maybe being a little higher. The defense not playing quite a bit of a role in the selection there. Maybe should be more highly considered, and he certainly deserves that. But he got recognized. His Defensive Player of the Year, third team. That's pretty good.
That's good. I got no gripes with that. And he will be back. And he has a potential, Andrew, to be a first team guy next year. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah,
this could be his team. I mean, that's pretty exciting to see what we got even coming back. Hopefully, hopefully we are able to play in the postseason next
year. Let's talk about that later.
We did have a lot of people asking for takes on that. So should we do like 30 seconds on the notice of allegation stuff? I know we should probably do like a full thing, but
yeah, I haven't read it. Really, the only thing that I've learned is from your GIF tweet thread that I kind of skimmed, and it was very funny from what I skimmed of it.
I was pretty drunk when I was writing that.
I could tell. Honest with you. I kind of saw some of the timestamps and I knew what you were doing and where you were. I was like, okay, I know what's going on here. I was
sitting at a bar reading the 300 goddamn pages of the notice allegations, and I was at a hotel bar, and this bartender, this huge group is in there. I don't know what they did, like a sighting of houses conference or something. And they were just noisy as all get out. I had headphones on. I was sitting there with the computer. They thought I was working, I think, like the people working there, but I wasn't. I was doing this, which I guess that's working. And so so they're doing these, kind of laughing to myself and whatever. And the gal, the lovely bartender, brings over a beer, and she's like, "Hey, I just brought you a beer. I thought you needed one. You look like you're working hard. It's on their tab." I was like, "Awesome." Oh. So she does, and then she does it the rest of the night. So I got like 8 beers free on these guys. I mean, I was on a work trip. I could have just, you know, put it on the work tab, but it made me even happier that I was drinking on these other guys' tab all night while I was doing these stupid gifts all night. But yeah,
well, Continental Siding Leadership Council sales meeting got fleeced for 3 beers that night.
No, it was a lot more than that.
10 beers that night.
But Andrew, yeah, I guess if you're interested, just go to my timeline. I did a notice of allegations KU response thread. I did a GIF with every comment just to break it up. And it's a couple just very quick takeaways. Obviously, at a very macro level, KU's fighting this hard. There's one thing they are not fighting and that they are giving in on. And that they are saying, "You got us. Listen, we messed up. You got us good, you know." And that's only the football stuff. They just threw Beatty all the way under the bus. I mean, just like push, like the old South Park, just tossed him right under the bus. And so we are guilty. We are absolutely guilty on the football allegations. And self-reported and made it very clear that we are could not be more transparent in our guilt on the football stuff. On the basketball stuff, a very different story. And I sort of get, they obviously paid a lot of expensive lawyers to come in and try to come up with some colorable arguments. And I actually appreciated most of them. But the big one, overarching, is that we are making it clear that the NCAA is opening up a can of worms, the Pandora's box, whatever you want to say. If you start saying that a shoe company rep is a accessory, is a booster, is a piece of your organization that you have to go and watch and that you should be responsible for. If you think about that by extension, Andrew, there's obviously people working for shoe companies and other companies all over the place, right? And working to try to lure players to certain brands and whatever. That if that was the case, taken to the full conclusion, KU would have to literally be going to Adidas and, I guess, watching them. I mean, for checking for compliance. I mean, and that's, it seems a little crazy. And to the extent that the NCAA has an argument that, wait a minute, you guys knew this was going on. We have all these text messages that say you knew what was going on. If you take it all together, it looks like y'all knew what was going on. Like, I kind of get it because it does look like we knew what was going on. But Andrew, KU is taking the approach that, listen, we've got enough out here to raise doubt that we knew what was going on, which is probably true if you take it to a really high standard, which we're trying to do. But at the end of the day, what is important is that you can't open this box because it's not going to make any sense. And if you're going to open this box, you got to hold everybody else accountable to that standard, which is impossible. And so that's the overarching theme that underwrites the entire thing. On Self's response, on Townsie's response, on the KU response overall. Does that make sense?
No. But
that doesn't make sense?
Well, I mean, it does. But it's just a lot. There's a lot there.
I mean, they even talked about Larry Brown being a representative of KU's interests. That the NCAA is alleging that Larry Brown is a KU stan, which, like, he is, but it's not someone we have to, like, go in every conversation he has, like, assume he's a, treat him as a booster. Like, that ain't happening.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is something we'll talk about in the future, more than likely, but I don't have much of a reaction. I just don't know. I'd have to read it. I've just read your comments and listen to you just now, and I think I'm a little more enlightened on it. You know, from what, just to put a bow on it, you know, what it comes down to, you know, based on events or things that actually occurred, it seems like it's down to the Silvio matters. Now, I think some of those other ones, the DeAndre Ayton thing, yep, and the Billy Preston thing, kind of comes down to the lack of institutional control. But in terms of, you know, eligibility matters, it's the Silvio $2,500 deal, right?
Yeah. And what we found in that, just some additional information, was that he didn't, the his guardian didn't even want it. Like, he gave part of it to the church.
Oh, Jesus.
If I'm remembering that right, like, he put 2,000 toward the program and 500 he gave to his church. And even said, hey, I don't want this. And Gasnola says, well, you know, don't send it back. I mean, it's already sent. If I'm remembering that correctly, and those classes that were supposedly, like, covering the online courses or whatever, they were free. They were not.
Oh, God.
Those were not for money. So, anyway, there's a whole bunch to dive into, Andrew, and I think you're right. Now it's probably not the time, because
thank you for ruining the mood of this wonderful podcast that we've had so far.
Everything's been a story. It's obviously a big KU thing. Like, I know you hate this stuff, but at some point,
just saying, thank you for ruining the mood. Thank you for ruining.
You know what? Talk to the NCAA about that, not me.
Yeah, I get it. Big 12 tournament coming up in Kansas City this week. Now we're going to get into our favorite pastime of, let's see if Kevin understands brackets.
Oh, God.
Okay,
we gotta buy.
So we're gonna play. I'm just gonna tell you, kind of. I don't know if you've looked at the bracket. Have you looked at the bracket?
I have not, actually.
Okay, so we on Thursday will play the winner of the 8-9 game. That's Oklahoma State or Iowa State. You know, I think those teams deserve to be where they are, but nothing to give up about. I mean, these are probably on the lower end of 8-9s in the past, but that's okay. You got an Iowa State team without Halliburton, and Oklahoma State can be feisty. Who would you rather play, or does it matter?
I don't care.
Yeah. I think it'll probably be Oklahoma State. I think they've been pretty good recently.
I agree with that.
Some people are saying they're kind of almost bubble team. I don't even think they're close to it.
What?
But really? I know. So I've seen this. It's ridiculous. I don't think they're close, but I think they're still a pretty solid.
Is TCU a bubble team?
Yes. For some people, they are. I don't think they are.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, you can't talk about Oklahoma State as a bubble team if you don't have TCU, like, solidly in. Because I would put TCU ahead of Oklahoma State.
You got to get to 68 teams somehow.
I guess.
That's the new motto. That's what next week. The next week you'll hear that. Got to get to 68 teams somehow.
Okay.
There's already been some bubbles burst with some teams winning that probably weren't going to be auto qualifiers. So that bubble is going to get smaller and smaller. So we're not going to see those, you know, maybe unless they make a run. But they've got to get through Kansas first, either one of those teams. And then if we do happen to win, not to get presumptuous, because we could just take this weekend off, maybe Roy Williams style. Maybe we should.
Maybe we should. Give it to Silvio. Just let Silvio start.
You know, he was all Big 12 2 years ago. This is his time to shine. This is his time to shine. If we do win, we'll play Texas or Texas Tech. Both teams kind of headed in opposite directions, although I think Texas Tech is really good. They just haven't gotten wins in the past month, 3 weeks. They've lost four in a row, and I think they've lost six of seven. Five to seven.
Texas got trounced.
Okay, so Texas kind of like was headed upwards and needed that last win, and then somehow.
What's my 30? I don't know.
How did that happen?
I have no idea. I did not watch the game. I didn't even see the score until like late last night, and I thought it was a misprint. I was like, what, really?
Oh.
At home? Oh. Like, I was at home too, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
81-59. Oklahoma State goes into Austin. And wins. I mean, they were talking about, you know, trying to see if Shaka need to stick around. They started playing a little better, right? They were turning around, turned into a, you know, maybe solidly into the tournament all of a sudden after a great February, and then like 81-59 to Oklahoma State.
Bad. And it was never close. I mean, it was from the get go. It's so bad. So then the other side of the bracket is TCU versus K-State. That's the 7-10. That's the Wednesday game. They'll play Baylor. The winner that'll play Baylor.
So TCU and
the other game
plays
is
Baylor. Got it.
Yeah. Or you got West Virginia versus Oklahoma. Now, how the tiebreaker worked out is if OU loses that game to TCU, then they are the 3 seed and West Virginia is the 6. However, because they won at the last second, they are now the 3 and West Virginia is the 6. So it didn't really matter. They're going to play just how the tiebreaker worked out. So West Virginia
played a good game.
Yeah.
Help for seeding.
Oh, definitely. And so West Virginia gets the 3 and will play OU. Who do you want to see? Who do you think is going to come out of that side of the bracket?
I don't care about who we see. I assume Baylor comes out of it.
Yeah.
I got TCU winning. I got Baylor advancing. Oklahoma West Virginia is interesting. Obviously West Virginia figured something out, beating Baylor. Of course it happened on ESPN Plus, so did it really happen?
Yeah. And so, my only thought on that one is they are absolutely terrible away from Morgantown. So yeah. I'm gonna pick OU there.
I don't hate that. And you know what though? Baylor lost 3 of 5 now? Do I have that right?
They lost to us, and then they've lost 2 since then. TCU and then West Virginia.
Yeah, so they're kind of limping into this thing. I mean, I guess it's possible that they lose in the semis, right? So, who do you think they don't want to see? Obviously they just lost to West Virginia, but I don't know, man. That would be interesting. That could be interesting in the semis. That's all I'll say.
Some teams need some good wins. I think Texas and Texas Tech need a win in the tournament to really solidify themselves. And definitely OU and West Virginia are playing for some good seeding spots. And maybe some of these other teams can make a run and you know, convince the selection committee that they are worthy. I'm not sure I'm sold, but it's not like it's over, which brings us to
Texas Tech real quick. They lost four games.
Four in a row. Yep. We talked games about it as a possibility last week. And I think it's, you know, the past 3 weeks or so, past 4 weeks, they have not had a good win other than Texas at Texas.
Here's the rub though. Computers, I think, moved them up after that loss to Kansas. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they lost in overtime to Baylor at Baylor. So there's obviously they're playing well enough to take them to overtime. And then obviously played us close, 4-point game at home. The loss that hurts is the Texas loss at home by 10, and then losing to Oklahoma by 14 away. So those are the first two that kind of kicked off the losing streak. But and like we look at them, they're 18-13. Yeah, 18-13. They lose. Let's say they lose to Texas, 18-14.
That's tough.
Guess what their KenPom rate number is right now, though?
It's like in the 20s.
21.
Yeah.
21. Like, this is the quintessential like, and I think computer favorite.
Yeah, their net rating, to the extent you give any credit to the net, which I really don't. I don't like that as a rating, is like 30.
Yeah, so it's
like that's going to be, it's going to be tough to keep them out.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just, it's something to watch. It's kind of, that could be interesting if they lose, what does that mean? Maybe you put them first four, like it's possible they become going to Dayton, right? Like it's, that's not
well,
crazy.
let's talk about that.
And meanwhile, Texas,
Texas is in, and this is in Lenardi's latest bracket Sunday night. Texas is in that play-in game. If they lose, Texas takes the Texas Tech spot. Texas Tech takes that play-in spot in Dayton.
Yeah.
And Texas moves up to the 10 line, and Texas Tech moves to the 11 and does that play-in. I think that they should get in based on, you know, the net rating, KenPom, whatever ratings you can get in. But in terms of seeding, it's tough to give them a good seed with 18 wins.
Well, you look at Texas, they've won 5 of 6. They got 5 straight wins coming into this drubbing at Oklahoma State, but at home on senior night. But Andrew, they had won 5 in a row. They went from this is awesome. They were 83 in KenPom.
Oh my!
Before the 5-game winning streak, they went from 83 to 53 in 5 games. That's a pretty big jump, 30 spots in KenPom at the end of the season, like where you got a lot of data.
A lot's built in, you know, at the end of the season in KenPom in those
you
metrics.
Can't move
a lot's
those
built
things
in.
Big. Hey, that's crazy. And then the crazier part to me, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, but they actually went from 53 to 51 after losing to Oklahoma State at home. I don't get that. Maybe some things moved around them. But anyway, they're 51st in KenPom right now and supposedly in the tournament. So there you go. Texas, Shaka, saving his job. Maybe. We'll see.
He always does this. He always like does just enough to like, okay, well, one more year, we'll stick around. I'm all for him sticking around as long
Me
as possible.
Me too.
That's my thought.
Team Shaka. Team Shaka.
Team Shaka.
Team Shoke.
Shoka. I've got a couple that I want to just point out. And, you know, if you see anything you want to talk about, let me know. Oklahoma currently is a 9 in the West. I think if they maybe get a win or two, they can move that up. West Virginia, same boat. They're currently a 7 in the Midwest. And then, of course, we've got the two number ones, Baylor, a number one in the South, and KU, a number one in the Midwest. Question for you, are we a number one no matter what?
Oh, yeah. I think we can.
Have we lapped the field?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, literally every metric there is out there, we're number one in right now, like every single one. I think we could literally skip Kansas City and still be the overall number one seed. And that I think it's locked in at this point.
Yeah. Baylor, what do they need to do? If they lose in the quarterfinals, do they move down to a 2 or are they kind of locked into?
I guess it sort of depends what happens around them, but I think they're still locked in. I mean, their loss would be a bad one, but not a terrible, like if they lost to TCU, I don't know. I mean, it's not like they would lose to a quad four team at that point, right? It's still
and they have recently lost to TCU.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, so I don't know if that. I think they've built up now enough that they're still probably a one seed. I mean, there'd have to be some crazy stuff that happened around them, and I still don't think it matters.
Yeah, I think they're good enough. I think they're going to at least win a game or two in Kansas City, maybe 3. They could win the thing overall, but
fine,
I think that
whatever.
We're locked in. Yeah, whatever. we're just going to skip it. Or, you know what? Let's just go ahead and win it. I like winning games. I like winning championships. I like watching that game on Saturday.
Like
let's just go
nets.
Ahead and win this thing. Let's just go ahead and win this thing and then just go ahead and go on a 6-game run after that. Let's just go win 9 games and just wear those rings. Just wear them around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? Like going into this, I saw KenPom's numbers. Kansas has like a 53% chance to win the Big 12 tournament.
Okay.
So that feels about right, right? You got to, I mean, maybe I, maybe I.
Yeah, you got to win three games against really good teams.
Yeah. So, and with other variables all coming into play, and Baylor was somewhere around 30%, I think. Maybe a little less.
So really, there he's calling it really a two team.
You know, it's even less. I think it was 20%, 20 some percent, somewhere in there. So we'll see. I mean, I think KU is obviously in a good position, particularly as the bracket sets up to have a good chance to win this. But I do not care. I just want everyone to be healthy, and I want everyone to get lots of rest. That's all I care. I could not care less about this tournament for some, this Big 12 tournament right now. Like
Are you going to be in town? Are you going to try to go?
No, I don't know. Kid stuff, it makes it tough, but probably not. But maybe. Yeah, you never know. But like, I don't remember a time where we've been absolutely unequivocally locked into the number one overall seed, no matter what happens in Kansas City. Like, that's a pretty good position to be in, you know?
Great position to be in.
That's a good-ass position to be in. We just haven't had that. It's just this, it makes you wonder a little bit. And I know it's not in Self's DNA. It's definitely not in the team's DNA. But it makes you wonder a little bit if he tries to rest some guys or, you know, I don't know. Starts thinking about the big picture.
You get some time, and maybe that's something to think about. But we've got a whole week. We're not going to play again until Thursday. A good run. Everybody get healthy. But I don't know. I'm excited for Kansas City. I'm going to try to go Thursday. Thursday's the best day.
Is that the, so that's the day, is that the
full day?
The full day? But KU doesn't play, right?
No, the first full day. Wednesday night is the, we're going to call it the play-in games for the K-State play-in game.
I'm going to check my schedule right now.
Games.
I'm checking
Thursday. Thursday's the, you know, starts early in the morning.
What time does KU play Thursday?
I think we play at 1:30 on Thursday.
All right, let's go. I'm gonna block my calendar right now. I'm blocking my work calendar. Out of office. Hey. Out of office. I'm not gonna say where I'm going. Out of office. Work. This location. All day event. Out of office.
conference.
Out of
office. It is technically a conference.
I'm sitting in front of my work computer right. I work from home. Sitting in front of my work computer right now. Out of office on Thursday. Let's go to that game.
Self-quarantine.
Hey, speaking of, like, another take that we got beat up on from the last podcast. And by the way, thanks to the listeners, first of all, for listening. And second of all, for reacting, which we love. And frankly, I like it when you disagree with us. It's kind of fun. So appreciate the multiple of you who called us freaking nuts for saying that we don't care if it's the Midwest or the South that we go to. Because overall number one seed, as you recall, Andrew, for the first time, you get to choose where you want to go.
Oh, right.
And we said, don't care. Midwest. Let's do it. We're always Midwest. We want to be, where do you want to start? You want it at the beginning of the year. You want the one seed of the Midwest, right? Right. Like we both agreed on that. We got beat up pretty good on that from the Twitterverse, saying that there's a bigger KU contingent in Houston than Indianapolis. So okay, whatever. Don't want to play in a football stadium was one of the other takes. I want to talk about that with you for 1 second. For this team, who is not great at shooting the three-pointer, and pretty good at defending the three-pointer, but like if you see a potential issue that could hurt this team, it's running up against a team that makes a bunch of threes, right?
We want to play.
I want to play in the
hardest.
Exactly. Yeah. I responded. I was like, I want to play in the biggest fucking gym you can find. Like, give me.
I want terrible sight lines. I want like it'd probably be even better with no fans if we get this coronavirus exactly. Empty stadium deal because it's gonna be tough to shoot without anybody there.
I want to play in a conference. I don't care where we play. I want there to be weird lighting. I want there to be just something that makes it difficult for most teams to shoot three pointers and us to just dunk the ball all the time. That's all I want. So anyway, I think that's a terrible argument. First of all, I think I'd say we, cause the argument was we're already bad at shooting three pointers. So we need to be in a place to make it easier to shoot three-pointers. I was like, wait a minute. Time out. Yeah, we're bad at shooting three-pointers because we're pretty efficient around the rim. The one thing that I'm terrified of is, you know, BYU making 33-pointers on us or something. So, yeah, no, I disagree with that take, obviously. The last thing, though, to your point on coronavirus, it doesn't matter where we go, man. Which gym would you rather play in with no fans? That's the question I want to know. would you rather play in a football stadium or a basketball stadium with no fans? Because, yeah, man, the COVID-19 is undefeated right now. So watch out for COVID-19. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, all right.
That's all I got. I'm excited for this week. I love Big 12 tournament week, but I love the March Madness generally. We've got the Selection Sunday 1 week from tonight, Kevin.
Crazy.
We'll be back one week from now giving our reaction to where we end up going. Doesn't matter. They should just play all these games in like one spot and have the teams quarantine themselves in in their hotel rooms, bring them out in gas masks or in medical masks to the floor.
We joke, but it's very possible that this gets blown up.
I know.
It could be bad.
People listen to this podcast on like Thursday. You're like, man, these guys are way behind the times.
I mean, they're canceling the Olympics, dude. Like, this could be bad. I listen to this. Like, if you are in Seattle, would you want to go to a regional game?
I would, but this makes it tougher.
It makes you think.
Yeah, it makes me think.
By the way, speaking of, we did this a little lesser, this little thing before the podcast. This is the only prep that we put into the podcast. Was we looked at round trip airline to Houston and Indianapolis. So the point is right now you can fly. If, by the way, you want to take the family out for a trip,
Now's the time to go.
Now's the time to, if you were unsure if you want to do that spring break vacation and you haven't booked it yet, if you have refundable seats, go ahead and refund those and rebook, because they are cheap. It is cheap flying right now to get to Indianapolis for the week, for the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 Elite Eight. It is a $200 round trip from Kansas City, or $203. And what was it to Houston?
To Houston's $221.
So again, another little issue there. Hey, Midwest is cheaper, bro. It's $18 cheaper. It's easy to get there. It's pretty cheap to travel right now. So listen, if KU ends up, advancing to the Sweet 16 as we hope, and Sweet 16 Elite Eight games are being played in one of those sites, coronavirus is at both of those sites. Coronavirus is in Kansas City, might get cheaper. This might be the cheapest time you'll ever have to go see KU play in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight. Maybe the Final Four. Like, what happens if Final Four tickets, Andrew, are like $50?
We're going.
Right?
Probably going anyway, but
we're going. This could be wild. It could be wild. Anyway, let's take our medical hats off, put our KU hats back on, and say, Andrew, this is a blast. This is the best time of year. This is Christmas. I know you all on the podcast world listening agree. Really appreciate you listening in, obviously, and interacting with us, even if you disagree. Team Doak forever. Team Midwest Regional forever. Reach out to us on Twitter with your reactions. Let us know if you like the show, if you got something you want to talk about. We will talk about the whole notice of allegations thing at another time. Let's talk about March Madness right now. Reach out and do us one big favor. Leave us a 5-star rating on the iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Leave us a comment. Helps us get this podcast out to new listeners. We got a bunch of new listeners this time of year. Welcome. If you're new, we appreciate you. We'll be doing this every week up until the time when we win the whole thing. We'll do a reaction podcast after that. If we lose, we probably won't talk to you again until the fall. that's kind of how we do it around here.
Yep.
But we're not going to lose this year, Andrew. That's what's going to happen. Anything else, Andrew, before we get out of here?
Rock Chalk, let's go win in Kansas City. Let's go win in Omaha. Let's go win in Indianapolis slash Houston. And then let's go win in Atlanta.
I like that. I like that. I got nothing else. Let's get out of here. Thanks all for listening. Catch you next time. Rock Chalk. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that is truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court, so we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together, but win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man, but one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.